Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Below the Dot Podcast, where we recap and discuss a new episode of Degrassi, The Next Generation, every Throwback Thursday from the Degrassi Black Hole. I am your co-host, Terry McGregor.
I'm your other host, Chris Sharp.
And today we are recapping Season 3, Episode 10, titled Never Gonna Give You Up. But before we get into our usual segment of trivia for Terry, we want to take a moment to include a trigger warning regarding today's episode as it covers sensitive topics.
Yes, so most every other episode, I remind you guys that Degrassi does continue to go there. In this episode, we're going to discuss the topic of partner abuse. We're not going to use any clips from the scenes of abuse, but we are going to still discuss it. So if hearing about partner abuse may trigger you, I'm just advising you that to skip this week's episode and tune back in next week for a delicious cup of mess that I'm very excited to discuss then. Of course, we obviously respect it if you need to, so go ahead and do what you got to do to protect yourself. Also, I just want to clarify that I was a little distracted when I read that because my cat is over here rubbing his tail against the microphone. So sorry if some of my sound is a little bit off because that's Felix's fault. Sorry.
Yes. Well, welcome everyone. And this is where we'll get into some trivia for Terry. Hopefully these pets don't act up today because Rue is in here as well. And as you heard before we got on, I told her in or out and she decided to stay in. So we shall see if that lasts.
She's going to cut up. I can feel it just like Felix is. I know Rue and Felix on the same page. And while we're on the subject of animals, before we get to the trivia, I just want to say that my child is now conspiring against me with the animals. I'll kick my dog out of the room and because she's begging. And I'm like, you got to go because this is not acceptable behavior. She did not beg until we unfortunately had a child who just hands her food. And so what does my child do now? Well, Penny's sitting on the other side of the gate. My child walks over to the gate and starts giving Penny food through the gate.
She's just helping out her first sibling for real, for real.
I'm so sick of this. I feel attacked. All right. So for some trivia for this week, my first question is, which role does Hazel play or act in the play?
What the heck is she doing? She's next to Marco. So who is that?
I know y'all can hear me drinking.
I'm trying not to choke on something that I ate 2 seconds ago, too. Who is she? What is Hazel doing? Is she a friend, a partner?
She is a nurse.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes they are very nice enough that they do act like your friend.
She was sitting down all calmly, so I'm just like, oh, this is someone else. But I guess I was assuming that because Terry was the mother, but go off.
Mama. God, what a great play. All right. What print does Spinner have on his boxers when he gets de-pantsed?
Are they red hearts?
It is. Good job.
Look at me go.
Clapping my hands, not my cheeks for listeners to my other podcast.
That's hilarious because you would have thought that Spinner would have learned not to wear track pants to school, but here we are.
He doesn't. He never does.
If you know, you know. We discussed it in an earlier episode. Track pants is not the wave.
It's not.
Well, this is the part of the show where we normally will get into some of Terry's tidbits. However, based on the subject matter of this episode, there really wasn't anything outside of the norm. Like, I honestly didn't even see them post about if they edited much out of this episode or not. Don't really have much to discuss today. All I have to say is for all our listeners, young or older, you know, love doesn't look like this. So if you are sticking around and there are some things that look similar to you, I suggest taking a note of that and figuring out how to proceed, because that's what Rick is demonstrating this episode is not what love looks like. And you deserve better. So that's all I have. Because I know way too many people that have been affected by partners like this in my lifetime. And, you know,
gross sometimes to those partners.
Clean it out. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I guess I did have a tidbit myself. I'm not Terry, but I got a tidbit. The title of this episode is Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. And so I was wondering to myself, because I'm like, oh, it's by Rick. So Rick. And then I went, but also if it had anything to do with the fact, I don't think it did. I think they just used the title like Never Gonna Give You Up. That's really why I think they did it. But I was just reading into shit. And because a really popular term back earlier was about like Rick rolling people, also known as like a bait and switch. So people would like be like, oh, to this blah blah blah, then they bait and switch, you'd click it and it would be something from that song, you would get Rickrolled. But my answer was no, being Rickrolled had nothing to do with this episode because it became a popular internet trend dated back to 2007, which was after the show had originally aired. And so obviously I think that the song is just because it's called Never Gonna Give You Up and the title kind of reflects what goes on with Rick and Terry in this episode.
That's so interesting that you point that out, because the one fact that I saw on the fandom, like wiki, is that the original title for the episode was something else.
Hmm.
It was like Wild Boys or something like that. Wild Boys, Wild One or something like that. So it'd be interesting if they changed it to that because of the Rick, though. I could see that.
Let's see. Now I'm curious.
Yeah, it was Wild Something. Because there was like three facts. It was the name of the song, the original name, and then something else.
Yes, the original title of this episode was Wild Boys. No shit. Mm-hmm. Not sure what Wild Boys is. Wild Boys, right? Song. This is a Machine Gun Kelly song, but I'm pretty sure that's not where they're going with that.
Right.
Mm.
I could also see them thinking twice about that title because like the storyline for Spinner and JT fit that, but I don't know how fitting it was for like the Rick storyline. That doesn't really seem like good, you know?
Yeah, I think that that was probably something as a nod towards the Spinner and JT storyline. But right. Anyway, we can go ahead and get started with our recap. So
let's get into it.
We our opening scene. We get to see the Great Tens putting together. They're gathering in the gymnasium. When I guess Mr. Armstrong is teaching math, because how is this area available? Then I realized actually after I took that note that they're not in the gymnasium. They are in the multipurpose room. They're in the auditorium. So they're in the auditorium, and Marco gives an exasperated glance when he overhears Terry's over-the-top interaction with Rick. He's then joined by a group with Rick, Jimmy, Hazel, and Terry. He wrote a script for the group to perform, and because he already wrote it, he does not want to direct. He would rather act in it. Jimmy says, well, that's cool. I don't want to act, so I'm going to direct. Rick uses this as an opportunity to pompously imply that he's meant for the position of director because his mom attended a theater school for 10 years. But then I'm like, did she attend there for 10 years? Because that, like... You didn't get any work?
Right. And also, so no, you're literally just a control freak.
Right. But I'm like, so maybe like she worked there for 10 years. I don't know. He thinks he's meant for it because his mother's in this business, allegedly.
Right. Yeah. Did but she really teach him everything she knew?
Well, apparently. And apparently she didn't know shit based off of Terry's acting in this episode. But we're not there yet. It is raining side eyes between both Marco and Jimmy because Rick is a damn weirdo. Jimmy awards the lead role to Terry, then she ends up hugging him in gratitude, and now Rick is the one giving side eyes. He is very visibly unhappy with Terry, and she instantly picks up on this, and she suggests, well, maybe I'll just be your assistant, and he encourages her, no, act. But the seed of self-doubt has already been planted within an already dying tree of insecurity for Terry. That was, like, really deep. It was really deep. Basically... Y'all have been along the ride with us. Terry been insecure.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, a lot of the times that we have a Terry storyline, it's negative and it has something to do with her insecurities or something that she's struggling with.
Right.
So we like that's pretty much what we know about Terry. So this does not help at all having a partner like Rick who they just literally started dating and is already doing this kind of stuff. But
yeah.
Here we are. I mean,
that is what unfortunately, abusive people do. They kind of pick up on your insecurities, as Rick has done, and he's about to play that like a fiddle in this episode with Terry, which is just really sad to see that happen to her. The group is practicing their scene, which includes Marco groaning in a bed for his mother. He's literally like, "Mama." I might even include it in the clip. I don't know.
Look, we talk about Terry's acting, though. What about Marco's?
That's a valid statement, okay?
You have one line, and it's terrible.
Mama. Okay, I hear what you're saying there. Terry responds to his, like, groan with some terrible acting, and Jimmy tries to give her some constructive feedback when Rick overshadows his advice with a suggestion to focus on her breathing.
Mama.
Yes, son. I am here.
Jimmy and Marco are so, like, stunned by how horribly this has turned. Rick smugly tells Jimmy that his job is difficult, but, you know, he'll figure it out. As if Rick is not the one making his life harder. It's great. Right. So with our plot B, this is an episode that every single time I talk about how much I hate JT, I think about this episode. Like, this is the one time where, like, Spinner had a point. Spinner be dead wrong. He was dead wrong season one. He was dead wrong season two. He was dead wrong season three. We're going to talk about it next episode because he says something in next episode. And I'm like, you know Spinner agrees with you. You know he's wrong. This is the one time he, you know, broken clock right twice a day. He has a new job. He's telling Craig all about his job at the dot. He's being allowed to serve on probation, but things aren't going so well because
he ordered a ham sandwich and you brought him a hamburger.
Yeah, but he's
okay. But I do want to say that I included this clip because this one time when I was in college, I went to IHOP with a group of friends. And, you know, first of all, college students, if you're not rich, you broke. And so we were all broke. And we went to IHOP with a group of broke bitches, which was mistake number one for me. One of the broke bitches ordered her meal and they brought her the wrong dish, but she ate it anyway.
Oh, no.
And then when the bill came, she told the server that she brought the wrong side item, which was sausage, instead of the bacon that she had ordered. She should not have had to pay for the bacon. And so this experience added to my list of reasons why I will not go out to eat with just anyone because people are trifling. But what do y'all think? Or what do you think? I should ask our listeners too.
Yeah.
Should she have paid for that bacon?
Yeah.
She did eat the sausage.
She ate it. Like, especially if it's the same price. If there's a price difference, that I'd be like, nah, you can give me the lesser price. Right. But also, I mean, I'm terrible at that because I would have just ate it and not said anything. Like, I really will do a lot to not send my food back unless I absolutely have to. But if I'm not going to eat it, I'm just going to be like, hey, replace this. And they probably would have just let her have both, honestly, if she spoke up for free.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, so Spinner and Craig happenstance upon JT and Paige, and they're like laughing at her locker. Craig encourages Spinner to tell JT get lost, for which he does. JT is so annoyingly childish because then he starts copying everything Spinner is saying. And Spinner's like, dude, this drives me nuts. And he's like, nah, dude, this drives me nuts. And he's going back and forth. And JT really just knows how to get on Spinner's nerves. But it makes me want to choke the shit out of him, too. Like, it does.
That's so funny because the way I read it is just that Spinner and JT are both childish and I don't know why Paige wants either of them in her life.
Okay, that is an accurate statement because also my thing is he knows this bothers you and that's why he's doing it. So stop being bothered by it.
Absolutely. And you would think that someone that's supposed to be equivalent to like a school bully would have something that wouldn't tick him off like that. Like, you think he'd have a comeback for everything, but why is it so simple to piss you off?
Right, that was it? That was your kryptonite, Spinner? Come on, I'm gonna need you. Like, he's so simple, so you're absolutely right. I mean, for what it's worth, Spinner has shown time and time again that he is not worth Paige.
Mm-hmm.
And neither is JT. Paige deserves to be single.
Right.
And that is not an insult. Single and happy and free.
Exactly, doing what she wants to. I could appreciate, though, that Spinner recognizes why JT is in her life and, like, the significance he plays for Paige, because he, like, kind of helped her with her situation last season. So I appreciate the growth there. Also think Craig has a lot of nerve to be pushing up on Spinner to be telling him to tell someone to back off of their partner when he is literally on someone else last episode. That's not his partner. So who's telling Craig that? Nobody. And that's the problem.
Nobody. Not at all.
We'll put a pin in this till next episode, but just know Craig is dead wrong.
Because the way we're going to come back to it, and I'm going to drag y'all problematic fave for filth. All right. So anyway, JT says a passive aggressive little remark and he leaves. And Spinner pleads with Hazel or with Paige, please just let that little lapdog loose. And Paige is like, no, maybe y'all just need some male bonding, which ends up being our plot B for the episode. Whatever. Back to plot A. Rick is inquiring about Terry's longstanding friendship with Jimmy, and she feels compelled to ensure him that Jimmy and I are just friends, and I only have eyes for you, Rick. Jimmy oversees them from inside the classroom, and he mimics gagging to himself because Jimmy knew.
They're nauseating. No, he's nauseating.
What?
What, Rick doesn't creep you out?
Yeah.
Hazel agrees that Rick is a little odd, but she's trying to be a supportive friend and keep her negative thoughts to herself, which we did highlight last episode. She a real one.
Yeah, she really is one of Terry's stronger friends. And honestly, just I'll talk about a little bit later when we get to, but just like everyone's stronger friend, because she points out a lot of crap that people do not realize is going on in their life, or like helps them get to something very, like realize something very important in their life.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Hayes will be a real one if she does not get the flowers like she deserves.
Right.
Interesting note, they were talking on Reddit about obviously how they continue to do the black characters wrong. They really just recycle a lot of content in there over and over again. But, you know, them doing the black characters wrong is evergreen content. And one of the things that came up was who should have had the racist storyline or the Islamophobic storyline. And I put Terry's name in the hat because I think... I mean, all we ever talk about is our insecurity and stuff like that. And, I mean, we give Spinner everything. Paige had a lot that season. They could have thrown Terry a little bit of racism, I feel. And she was racist. Remember when she said the comment about, do you think they're bald under there? Like, we could have given that to her.
That's so true. And it's like, again, because they were only giving her these insecure storylines because she was a bigger character and not even big, you know what I mean? Like, she's very average size, and they were really just focusing on the obvious with her. Yeah, she was definitely, she had problematic tendencies sometimes, so that is a very good point.
Could have given that her anyway. So after school, Rick is giving everyone advice, which Terry later demonstrates that he should have kept his mouth shut, and because he just ruins everything for them, honestly, but whatever. It's time to order. So Terry wonders aloud, I kind of think I want a burger. But Rick is like, weren't you just craving a salad yesterday?
Does anyone really crave salad?
Valid question, Marco. Do you crave salads?
I was just going to say, not a healthy salad, that's for sure.
Never once have I ever.
Right. If I'm going to eat a salad, it's absolutely not healthy and it has 10 different toppings. So,
like, never. But okay. Anyway. Spinner pranked JT with a fake love note written by JT to Mr. Raditz, so now the prank war is beginning. Spinner tells JT that if he would just stop hanging around, then he wouldn't have to mail bond with him. I don't know what Spinner expected to happen from, like, the class clown of JT. Like, we know who JT is. Did you really think you were going to win this battle?
Right. Right. Prankster. Like, again... I don't know how real this is, but how many times have they mentioned him being like a comedian? You know what I mean? Like wanting to do all these things based on his character of being like a prankster. So nice try.
But Spinner doesn't think so. Here we are. Later that day, Spinner is talking about his prank with Paige when JT runs by and de-pantses him. The entire hallway laughs because Spinner is wearing heart boxers. Back in literature class, the group is practicing their performance. Terry seems to have taken Rick's advice to the heart, but she doesn't understand what three-quarter means because her entire body is facing the audience versus Marco. Like, she's literally, like, just facing them. What else is there? I see you over there. What you eating?
I'm trying so hard not to chomp really loud. They're porkless snack rinds. They're like fake pork rinds from Trader Joe's.
I know you're not eating at Trader Joe's.
Oh no, what happened to Trader Joe's?
You gonna cheat on them like that?
Oh girl, absolutely. It took me 10 minutes to realize what you were talking about. Absolutely, because the price point is there. The price point is in my budget, honey. I need all the Trader Joe's. Okay,
that's valid. That's valid. I hear what you're saying there. All right, let's keep going. Where were we? I don't know. Oh, so Terry got her whole face to the audience. She over here got her back basically to Marco, and she's shouting her lines towards the crowd. Jimmy is just like, cut. What is going on with this nonsense? What the hell are you doing, Terry? And she's like, it's a 3/4 roll. So Jimmy has had enough. So he turns around. He's like, Rick, let's talk.
We're going on this afternoon. So I will, because I'm the director.
Rick gives Jimmy a look that I'm sure he wishes could kill. Unfortunately for everyone next season, Rick realizes that while looks cannot kill, guns can. But we will get there when we get there.
Because I'm the director. Can you believe he actually said that to me?
Rick is pissed and on a rampage. He plants yet another seed of self-doubt when he tells Terry that he just doesn't want her to embarrass herself in front of all those people by following Jimmy's shitty advice versus his. Valid, it's not valid. His advice sucks, but he seems very convincing. And also, The guy who plays him is a pretty good actor.
Yeah, I have to say for a child actor, too, he does a good job. But also, the reality here is she really was a better actress under Jimmy's direction. And sucks that he has so much power over her thoughts to think the opposite. Because she was actually being normal. In the beginning, I'm like, nah, like Terry should never been the main character because she's a terrible actress. But it's just because she was listening to Rick.
Yeah, the worst acting that I've ever heard of Terry was actually her just genuine acting on the show. It was the episode we referenced with Fariza. And Terry goes, but why would you say that? None of us are like that. So, I mean, that's probably the worst acting I've ever heard out of her character. But that was really her and not her. So I don't know if that's fair to compare it to her.
I remember that.
Anyway, where are we? So when they're performing Marco's play, things seem to be going well, but then Terry looks over at Rick in the audience and he looks visibly uncomfortable and disappointed in her. So instead of continuing as she was, she decides to finish the play and performance by following Rick's advice. So she's following the 3/4 rule, but the bitch don't know what 3/4 means. So she got her whole body towards the audience and she's doing that weird ass deep breathing thing. Jimmy is tired and his face shows it. The entire class starts laughing and Terry leaves the stage embarrassed after finishing her performance.
I look like an idiot because of you.
Excuse me.
Everyone was laughing. Should have listened to Jimmy.
Rick tries to assert his control back over Terry. He grabs her arm very tightly and this scares her. The next day, though, he brings flowers to apologize for what he did the day before. It's super manipulative.
This episode, I feel like before we started this podcast, this was one of the episodes I rewatched because I was going to start rewatching again. And I just remember being so angry watching it, not to victim blame, but because I wish someone would have just punched Rick in his face. This is wild. And like Terry, again, we'll talk about how Hazel is actually a really good friend when it comes to this, but I hate this for Terry's character because she always had a crap storyline and Rick was terrible. Like, I hate him so much. It's very convincing, and it's literally a TV show, but it's very convincing. I remember growing up thinking this is insane. Like, I want someone to punch him in the face.
But then I hate how when he does come back to Degrassi, spoiler alert, he does come back at some point in time after everything that goes down, and they bully him, and then you're kind of made to feel badly for him, for him getting bullied. And for what it's worth, my argument is that the people who were involved with bullying him had nothing to do with Terry.
Right.
They were just taking advantage of being a bully, which is what kind of pissed me off about it. Like, by all means, don't talk to him, don't date him, stay away from him. But some of y'all are getting in on this just to get licks off. And so I can't even feel good about him finally getting punched in the face because it's not done in a way, which I need Terry to punch him in the face.
Absolutely. That is what I needed. Yeah, that's such a good point. I didn't get that. Yeah, I don't like that at all because they really do try to like kind of make him a redeeming character. Like, oh, he came back and he's really, really sorry. And these people are being mean to him. Like, no, they should have literally just avoided him and isolated him. So that, like, again, we are going to find out what happens to Terry, but isolate him just like they ended up isolating Terry pretty much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's such a complicated storyline once we get to it that have so many sides to it because it's just really hard, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like when you look at it, when you talk about, you know, school violence and when it occurs, it often feels very polarized. Oh, people bullied someone, so they did something violent. Okay, well, that person was a victim. They did something violent. But in this case, Rick wasn't only a victim. He was also a perpetrator of violence against others, which makes it really hard to argue against or like for him.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess theoretically, I guess what it shows is that things are not black and white. But then it makes it hard because it's like some kids really are just bullied for no reason. And like they might be quirky or weird or different. And they're being bullied for reasons which they shouldn't be bullied for. But this kid theoretically should be bullied because he was abusive.
Yeah, he was a bad person. But that's a good point because at the beginning of this episode, before all this happens and we see how he is with Terry, that's kind of how you want to see Rick, right? Because it's just like he's just different, you know what I mean? Like he's obviously very quirky. Like we've all had people in our class that were like that growing up, and that people would isolate them too, but they were just different. But then it draws a line when he becomes like manipulative, possessive, and abusive. Then it's like, I don't care how quirky you are, you're a bad person, you know?
Right. And it's almost as if like they were kind of picking up on something about him that was different and odd. Who knows? Anyway, we'll get there when we get there. Back to this episode. So he's bringing flowers. He blames his jealousy. And then he showers Terry with compliments. Oh, I'm just jealous because you're so amazing. You shouldn't blame me for reacting that way. And unfortunately, she takes him back. Hazel and Paige can be seen gassing Terry up in the bathroom. They see her flowers because they view Rick as
a big romantic with a disposable income, the best kind.
Look, Paige be right though. Like she, like the person she's applying to, it's wrong. But a big romantic with a disposable income, she was not wrong on that one.
Yeah, she was absolutely right, and for her age, quite wise, I have to say.
Yeah, beyond her years. So they asked Terry, like, hang out with us later. So let's catch up. Terry says, "Well, I need to check with Rick first." And Harry's like, Hazel's like, not Harry. Hazel's like, what's this bruise on your arm? Which Terry's like, oh, volleyball, sir. Hazel looks over her like, bitch, I knew what was going on with Paige one right, and I know what's going on here ain't right neither. Something, it's not clicking, the math's not mathing, because we did not have volleyball.
And it's always in the bathroom. Always in the girls' room.
Always. The way that these kids go to the bathroom.
Honestly.
Spinner fake apologizes to JT so he's able to plant a fart machine in JT's locker, which he makes go off when Manny gets close to JT. This is stupid because if JT could just get a girlfriend, he would leave Paige alone, which would get him out of Spinner's face. But, you know, here we are. Spinner not thinking. It was a good prank, though. Like, it was a good prank, but it didn't have a lot of, like, long-term thoughts. Terry asks Rick if she can hang out with Paige after school for a girls' night. And Rick is like, but I can't go. Are you using this as an excuse to talk about me or talk shit about me?
Rick, you're being crazy.
Rick hurts Terry again after she says this line and she storms away from him. Then, yes.
I was just looking over my notes on where to go from here because this is so frustrating, but I think I've already said what I was going to say, so continue.
So it's wild that you're so frustrated by this, as we should be, because we go back to plot B where I'm just like, this isn't even a palate cleanser at this point because I'm just so annoyed by JT. So JT shows up at Spinner's job to just be a horrendous customer at the dot and makes Spinner upset. Spinner gets upset once JT starts mimicking him and picks him up by the collar. His boss oversees. Spinner gets punished, and he's moved back to being dishwasher. JT apologizes the next day. They talk it out, but JT got the last prank in by writing a love note to Miss Kwan from Spinner. What an odd thing to send to teachers.
Right? And they did it to multiple people, but like, it's, I mean, I guess it's weird either way. Like, that's not appropriate, but to Miss Kwan too, like, y'all never know how to leave her alone. Like, why are you harassing her?
Leave her and her little husband in remission by himself.
Right. What are you doing? But yeah, I honestly have to say I never thought about writing a love note to a teacher, because I feel like that's the easiest way to get expelled. Like, that's inappropriate. And
right,
someone could report that, you know what I mean, and try to look into it further.
This is harassment, especially now you got to do things over the top, because now you need to know that I did not like this and I reprimanded it, because I want nothing to do with children, because some people out here are nasty and you need to know that I am not.
Yep, that's exactly it right there, because you just never know.
It's literally like, don't want to do the most. It was a prank, not big deal, but no, I need to do the most because y'all not going to catch me up.
Right. Make me lose my job all over the news for something that's not even real. Because there are people that do that, and that's the problem.
People be out here so nasty. All right, so we're going to close this episode. Terry is boasting about her relationship with Rick and Paige, or with Rick, to Paige and Hazel. Paige is gassing her up, but Hazel starts asking if there are any issues with Rick. And she's clearly onto things. And Terry's like, he gets a little angry, but, you know, it's only because, you know, I do things to upset him, which is just really sad. But also, I think kind of the textbook, I think Terry and Rick's dynamic in this episode is the textbook example of what you expect abuse to look like. And I'm not saying that it's an accurate reflection of what abuse looks like. I think we've learned, or many of us have learned over time, that it looks a variety of ways. It's not always physical. It's not, you know, we can recognize a lot more of emotional abuse and everything. But when you think about what abuse looks like in the textbooks, it's Rick and Terry. So she kind of represents them like, oh, well, I upset him. Hazel calls out the marks on Terry's lip, and Terry's like, it's a cold sore. And then Hazel says, girl, is Rick hurting you? And then Terry's like,
you're jealous.
Jealous? Nobody loves you, and he loves me, and you want to take that away?
Terry?
So I got a question. Have you ever accused your friends of being jealous of your relationship?
Have I ever? I don't think so. I think that is so weird. Like, I can't even imagine, like, a younger me being like, you're just jealous. Like,
so my mom would always be the one to say, like, yeah, they're jealous. I'm like, literally nobody cares. And she'd be like, no, girl, they're really jealous. But I don't necessarily think, I think jealous is kind of, yes, people probably do experience jealousy, but they don't recognize for what it is. But I think, like, it's a lazy, not lazy, but. Like, I don't think people are jealous. I just think that they're unhappy with themselves, because if they were happy with themselves in their own situation, they would not even be thinking twice about me. So them being upset about me and my relationship has nothing to do with me and my relationship, and everything to do with themselves. So yeah, not that they're jealous, but they are unhappy.
That's a good point. Yeah, I feel like I could never, the amount of times that they do it on Degrassi too, I don't think I could ever outright or had to ever in my life be like, you're just jealous. Because I feel like that's a reactive statement almost. You know what I mean? Like, you have nothing else to say. So you just accuse someone of being jealous when it's probably something completely different.
And many of the scenes, like, well, actually, I will say there have been times when Manny has accused Emma of being jealous, and she is jealous.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And you know what? Now that I think about it, I've had a friendship that I could compare to Manny and Emma's almost. So, but I still don't think I've ever outright called the person jealous. But I think I've experienced a friendship just like Manny and Emma's. But it's so funny that you brought up that your mom would say that people are jealous, because my mom would do the same thing. Just like,
I knew she would. She seemed like the type.
That person is just jealous of you. Like, that's always a thing. And I'm just like, I guess, but like, we could just talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, there's no need.
But I will say that I think, like, Emma was jealous in a different way than what Manny was saying. Because Emma's like, mm-hmm. you're jealous because Paige and Hazel like me and they don't like you. And no, that's not what she's jealous of. She's jealous because she cares about you and you are now spending your time with other people and she wants the time that you are giving to them. So two different,
right.
we're talking about two different things. And yeah. So anyway, Terry storms away from Paige's house only to run into Rick in the alley. Weird. She's not in the mood for his bullshit right now. And she's like, I need to be alone because Hazel and I just had a fight. Rick is like, well, you shouldn't be hanging out with her anyway. I got some rules for you. And Terry's like, absolutely not. You are suffocating me. Rick then pushes Terry in response. And she's like, that's the last time you're going to do that shit.
Read him.
She did.
Is that, I was going to say, is that how the episode ends? But no, there's one more scene.
No, there's more. So Jimmy tells Terry that if Rick ever bothers her again, that she should let him know. So it seems like she's kind of shared the reason of why they ended up breaking up with her friend group. Terry says she knows she needs to be done with Rick, but she still cares about him. But then when she finds a rose on her locker, she destroys the flower with a look of determination, and the episode ends.
Whew. This also feels like, I know it comes up again later, obviously, but it was interesting that they resolved it so quickly. Not that I would want her to continue to be abused, but I think sometimes we talk about how Degrassi will be realistic with being like, we're not handling this situation the same episode. But I guess the right. next episode that we see is kind of like an attempt at redemption for them. And that happens too. You know, like people try to come back. So I guess that's realistic. Yeah. And it's probably Degrassi wanting to start an issue and end it in the same episode, if it, especially for the American viewers at least, because that's what they love right. to do.
Right. Yeah, I feel like it probably should have occurred over more episodes in the background. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if you get kind of more background storylines in future seasons of Degrassi, but if so, actually, I want to say that there's another partner abuse storyline with the, I don't even know what generation you'd call them, but still in TNG, like the 14 seasons, but our mm-hmm. later characters. And I don't know how, like, I'm not really familiar with, like, seasons 10 through 14. So I don't know how many episodes it takes over. Also, their seasons are, like, 50 episodes long. So there's that.
I hate when they do that. Like, they just drag it out so much.
Whew. Anyway, you got a moral for the episode?
My moral was directed at both storylines, and it is leave that man.
You right. Break up with him, sis.
Honestly. What about you?
I didn't have one, but I guess I think that the Degrassi writer's kind of moral was the ability to recognize abuse if it's happening to your friend. Because I think one thing I regularly say is that your friends are going to notice what's going on before the adults around you know what's going on. And then it circles back when we do come back to the storyline, because it's not just important to know what's going on with your friends and be all macho like Jimmy and say, if you need anything, let me know. There's another step that they need to take. So you need to know what it looks like. But then also mm-hmm. you need to know what to do when it does happen. So the Degrassi kids go through it so you don't have to. And that is, I think, what their intentions of this episode were.
That is a good point. And shout out to Hazel for being persistent. Like, she didn't just buy the volleyball thing. And, I mean, that happens in the same day, too, like, where she points out her wrist and then she sees her lip. So she was able to put two and two together. But, you know, there's always a fine line between, like, prying in someone's life and, like, actually being helpful. But I think she did such a good job at it because she was trying to at least act like she was interested in it to get more information versus just being like, what's going on with you?
Right. And I think it's really hard. You know, I always say minding my business is free 99, but there's a certain point in time when you have to know not to stop minding your business and to ask questions.
Absolutely.
And, you know, see what happens after that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
No, I think that about covers this episode.
Okay. So, you guys know my favorite episode of this season, maybe even series. I don't know. is coming. With Christmas rapidly approaching, Craig finds himself slowly losing interest in Ashley while continuing to cheat on her with Manny, who soon has become a comfort to him. Craig doesn't know whom he wants to be with more and continues to see them both behind each other's backs, while also accepting the risk of losing both of them. Meanwhile, Joey and Sydney find themselves getting increasingly serious, but Sydney's jealousy comes out when Joey begins spending a lot of time with Caitlin, who begins to develop feelings for him. That wraps this week's episode of Below the Dot Podcast. If you enjoyed your listen, please tell a friend to tell a friend. To hold you over between episodes, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok under some derivative of the username Below the Dot. Feel free to reach out with any questions, comments, or concerns on either of our social media accounts or email us at whateverittakes385@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back on your airways this time next week, whatever it takes. Wait about the way it's going on.